This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that.
Yeah.
No hassle.
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways, and all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This is Computer Talk with Tab, hosted by Eric Semmel of Tab Computer Systems. Interact with Eric and his guest by phone at 522-WTIC or 1-800-966-WTIC. Email them in the studio at gethelp@tabinc.com or get help anytime at computertalkwithtab.com. Now, here's Eric.
And good morning. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I am Eric.
And I'm Dennis.
And that's Dennis Halnan, one of the employee owners of Tab Computer Systems. He comes in and helps me out with your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns. And we are lucky enough to have on the line this morning with us Brett Ahrens from MarketWatch. You there, Brett?
I am. Good morning.
Good morning, sir. I saw an article you put out there about why you wouldn't want crypto in your 401k when Fidelity announced that they were going to allow it. And I said, we got to have this guy on the show. So we're so happy to have you on the show. And we'll put a link up to Brett's article there for MarketWatch. But why wouldn't you want Bitcoin in your 401k there, Brett?
Well, let me start by saying that ever since I wrote the article, there's been a huge row because Warren has come out and said how outrageous, well, not outrageous, but she's very, very much attacked Fidelity for allowing, for going to allow crypto, Bitcoin in particular, in 401k plans. And the U.S. government, I think it's the Department of Labor, has come out, regulators anyway, and also expressed grave concerns about this and how, you know, they're not happy with this, or the rest of it. And look, the reality is, if they want to stop people investing their 401k plans in things that are speculative and risky, it's too late for that. There are, you know, any number of investments. In fact, my company's 401k allows me to own, to put a fair amount of my 401k into stocks directly if I wanted to. Mm-hmm. So I could have owned, you know, whatever, Peloton, DraftKings, all these things, sort of Teladoc,
right,
that have all down a long way in the last year. So, you know, that's kind of a little bit of a crazy argument.
Mm-hmm.
In my own case, my argument, my issue with Bitcoin is I still haven't had anyone explain to me what the actual utility of Bitcoin is, why it have intrinsic value. I'm open to the argument. I haven't yet heard a single convincing argument why I should be a Bitcoin believer and why I should want to invest in Bitcoin.
Well, I agree, and I mean I can't see any intrinsic value. I'm not the sharpest tack in the drawer, and I'm just a geek, but I mean, I lived through Enron. Didn't Enron have a deal that came up with how they thought energy would be marketed? I lived through the dot-com bubble. I heard the internet was going to be a thing. I've lived through the first savings and loan debacle in the 80s when real estate went to, you know, the bottom. And then somehow Moody's was giving us ratings on quality paper in 2008. And now we have the next bubble. So it's almost like people are like, well, what the heck, Bitcoin, why not? I mean, it almost seems like that those that are going to pump it don't care about those that are going to get stuck when it gets dumped.
One thing I would encourage everyone to do, regardless of whether they're going to invest in Bitcoin, but particularly if they want to understand Bitcoin, is to go on YouTube and there's a short clip of a scene from a movie called Margin Call. Mm-hmm. And it has Kevin Spacey and, the British actor, whom I've now forgotten, but it is a sort of the famous scene where the head bank in Margin Call is basically told that they are bankrupt.
Yep.
They've been trading this mortgage. It's basically a financial crisis.
Mm-hmm.
They've been trading this mortgage-backed securities with leverage, and they've been making a ton of money. And essentially, this young geek in the securities department done the math and worked out that it is now essentially not only is it the stuff worthless, but the bank now owes them its entire market cap. And it's this wonderful scene where you realize that all these people are making money and they have no idea really how they're making money.
Right.
And they're not asking too many questions. I'm interested when people say, oh, well, your Bitcoin is somehow sticking it to fans, sticking it to the system. It's, you know, hedge fund managers were going on CNBC, billionaire hedge fund managers who don't pay taxes, I might add, were going on CNBC 2 years ago talking about how great Bitcoin was. They were doing that because their hedge funds have to take long positions in Bitcoin. They have bet on Bitcoin. Then they go on TV and say what a great thing it is in the hope that the suckers will come in and bid it up. It's called pump and dump.
Right.
So the idea that somehow Bitcoin is somehow sticking it to the man, it's not actually the case. The man is almost sticking it to you.
Right.
In terms of Bitcoin, it's fascinating, really, because the essential problem with Bitcoin, the essential problem with crypto, when it comes down to it, is that you can create new cryptocurrencies.
Right.
I had a very interesting argument with discussion with a friend, a super, super smart financial honcho, and is also, interestingly, is not a gold skeptic. He actually, at one point, his entire retirement portfolio was two-thirds stock, one-third gold. So it's not like he's a just mainstream investor.
Mm-hmm.
But he said, look, he said, anyone can create a new cryptocurrency tomorrow. So even though you say the supply of Bitcoin is limited, the supply of cryptocurrency is not limited. The supply of cryptocurrency is infinite. So how, you know, you talked about Enron, and I mean, we remember. I remember during the dot-com bubble, people, individual websites were going to be incredibly valuable,
mm-hmm.
because everyone have, if you know, if you wanted to find, if you wanted to buy, I don't know, pet food, you would have to petfood.com.
Right.
They had no idea that people within years would go to Google, type in pet food. At which point, pet.com may well be a valuable site, but it's not worth millions and millions and millions.
Right.
Because people don't have... So it's the same if people want to use cryptocurrency, and I'm starting to see some utility, certainly with blockchain. I've got no problem with blockchain. I understand that blockchain is incredibly good technically. And I don't have any sort of intrinsic problem with the idea of using a crypto. Currently, for example, there have been cases in the last 6 months where the banking system has shut people off because they didn't approve of their political position. The truck drivers in Canada, for example, who were doing a blockade, were essentially had money taken away because I think it was GoFundMe just didn't approve of block.
Right.
So I can see, okay, someone says, well, you know, that's not going to happen with a cryptocurrency. If I can give my money to people via cryptocurrency, GoFundMe or whoever can't shut them off. And I understand PayPal, Matt Taibbi, interesting article, PayPal has been doing something similar to people.
Right.
So it's not an argument that necessarily blockchain is bad or crypto is bad. The issue is, why would Bitcoin specifically all this value when people can use another cryptocurrency and there are thousands of them?
Right. Yeah, you make a good point. I mean, there's a crypto conference that's going on recently. I was looking at some of the information that they were putting out. They hate any other crypto. You have to be Bitcoin only because they realize exactly what you're saying, right? Yeah. Crypto is something anybody can do. And there's no value there. And the other thing, too, about it being so open and libertarian as far as being able to send your money everywhere, you still need to go through exchanges. And guess who the exchanges are controlled by, right? So
A few years ago, 5 years ago, as you make a great point, 5 years ago, there was a late 2017, the first Bitcoin sort of boom or bubble. And people were writing about it, but they didn't seem to know much about it. So I thought, well, I'm actually going to use this stuff and find out. And so I was in London at the time. And in London, you were able to put money into the equivalent of a reverse ATM. You were able to put the actual banknote into a machine and with any ID, and you got a printout, and that was your Bitcoin address. And you could then go online and transfer that money. And I entertainingly used that to buy a U.S. gold coin, a gold eagle in Chicago, and have it shipped to my office. So I was sort of testing the international money laundering capabilities of Bitcoin. However, the first thing is, I don't think you can do that in London, and you certainly can't do that here in the U.S. You have to in order to put money into Bitcoin, you have to go through the banking system of some sort. You have to provide ID, or you have to use your bank, and they can track there was a ransomware thing. It was the Colonial Pipeline. They got most of the money back because the hackers used Bitcoin, and they were able to basically track the money down the blockchain. So it wasn't like, you know, a bag of gold coins or a bag of banknotes, which, you know, was left, you know, in a trash can, and the ransom people got with it. It was... And they were able to follow the money. Now, there are cryptocurrencies. Friends of mine who are green libertarians and preppers and all the rest of it, there are cryptocurrencies that are completely anonymous. So right. I don't really understand why Bitcoin would have this enormous advantage.
I completely agree. So, I mean, that's the thing. And a company like Fidelity giving it value like this is just so reminiscent of all the other scammy things that we have all fallen for. And we all keep getting the government bailing out the big banks who were supposed to be so smart about this. Who's going to bail out Fidelity? You know, holy moly,
well,
right?
Actually, it's going to be more going to bail, because Fidelity's going to lose the money. It's going to be who's going to bail out the people who lose their money. What I feel bad about is the people who are going to essentially put money in their 401ks into Bitcoin. If it all, you know, ends badly, they're going to, you know, lose a ton of money. I mean, I remember Enron,
right?
People who walked it. And lost everything. They lost their jobs and their entire life savings. My fundamental issue is I just am still waiting for someone to explain why I need this. What is Bitcoin? What does Bitcoin get for me? What does it do for me that I can't get elsewhere? Now, having lived through the early stages of the dark revolution, kids are very enthusiastic about Bitcoin, to understand that those of us who are older remember the world before Amazon, remember the world before mobile phones. It was a totally different world, and these innovations gave us something that we didn't have before. I mean, it is almost impossible to describe the changes that have been made possible by the ability to go on your computer at home and purchase something and have it delivered the next day, or the ability to call someone and reach wherever they are. I mean, I remember in the 90s saying to people, we're going to have difficulty explaining to kids that once upon a time, stayed in, you were expecting a phone call. You had to stay in because a phone was tied to a wall.
Right.
And you say, I can't come out tonight. I'm expecting a phone call. This stuff is inconceivable. What if Bitcoin does that will make the future inconceivable to people? Say, what is it? Before Bitcoin, you couldn't do what?
Right.
Be able to do with Bitcoin that you can't do now.
And that's the critical thinking that's necessary. Because if you think back in the past, as far as I'm concerned, Bitcoin is the pork belly's future market of the 80s, right? When you wanted to make a bet on what's going to happen with pork bellies or whatever it would be, it's the futures market that everyone was like, oh, that's where you can make all your money. But you know what? We've been on this radio program for 27 years. And even with our client base and the sophistication of the users out there, most people do not know how a computer works. All right? And so when you have a football guy say, I want to get paid in Bitcoin, well, you're going to have a 17-year-old say, ah, that's cool. I'm going to follow along with that football player because they don't know how it works. You know how monetization, you know, you're in the business of financial, the financial world, and you don't even know how this thing works as a financial product. People, yep. I think, are just quote unquote bamboozled by the technology and, oh, this is the next revolution. It doesn't make any sense to me. And the amount of energy it uses, I'm not a tree hugging environmentalist, yep. but for crying out loud, it's insane how much energy it uses.
Bitcoin alone uses more energy than the country of Poland. And what's really interesting is people who are very green and who will, you know, like Thunberg's latest comments on Twitter and right. Facebook, and then go and trade Bitcoin. It's like you might as well own a diesel pickup truck and just run it in your backyard 24/7. It is a disaster. But it's, you know, we're with wind farm. No, energy is fungible. Any wind farm that is being used to power Bitcoin is not used to power the country of Poland.
Right.
In other words, you're still adding to energy demand. If the whole world, if 100% of our energy came from wind farms and solar power, then yes, that would be a perfectly reasonable argument. But it doesn't. So as a result, you're adding to the demands on the energy network.
Right.
You're helping cause the energy crisis that we have at the moment.
Yep.
You're helping drive the price of gasoline and fuel for poor people
right.
who are helping damage the environment. As for the technology, I mean, one of the goofiest arguments I have heard, and I mean, I have really so many goofy arguments try to defend Bitcoin, to explain Bitcoin, was, oh, it's going to bring banking to the unbanked. I'm like, let's get this straight. You're telling me that a goat herder in Afghanistan, you know, in the Pashtun territory, you think he's going to be banking using coin on his iPhone?
I mean, yeah, he'll be hooked up to Elon Musk's stuff.
Yeah, I mean, it's what are you talking about?
Right.
I mean, it's absolutely it's crazy. It is a, you know, these sort of Ponzi schemes can keep going for years because essentially, as long as someone new buys, it'll just keep going up. Of
yep.
course, what happens when everybody wants to sell?
That never happens. Well, yeah, we're going to have to go pretty soon. We have to go here, Brett. But I was watching Bitcoin tank. Why is Bitcoin following the market? It's not even connected to anything. How can it possibly follow the market? That doesn't make any sense.
I know. Isn't it supposed to be safe haven?
Yeah, right. It's supposed to be a hedge. So, Brett, we really appreciate you being Brett Ahrens from MarketWatch on our program talking about Fidelity and the 401k, and we have a link up to his article if you'd like to read it. And Brett, we'd love to stay in touch, so if you ever want to chat about these types of topics, feel free to reach out.
Always reach out. Love to come on your show.
Thank you, sir, very much.
Thank you.
All right,
thank
bye-bye.
You.
Bye. Sorry, Brett Ahrens from MarketWatch. Check out his article. We'll be right back. And we are back. That was a good conversation with Brett. I enjoyed that.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
We'll put his link up there. And you guys, if you're looking to go invest your future in 401k and Bitcoin and crypto, take a look at it. But you know what? Dennis and I talked off air. I mean, we really didn't, but I'm just surprising him with this. We're going to create our own coin called whatever coin.
Tab coin.
Yeah. And it's going to be worth $1 million from the first coin. A million. So please invest in our coin. It's worth $1 million. Can't go wrong. Yeah. Let's go to Bob in Newington. Hey, Bob. What's happening? Bob, you there? Uh-oh. Did Bob fall asleep? He's only on the phone for 17 minutes. Bob going once. Bob going twice. Bob, you there?
I can hear something.
Yep. Oh, there you are. What can we do for you, sir?
I'm replacing my iMac that I have, and I'm getting another one. And I'm not going to want to get the monitor that they're suggesting. It's very expensive. It's like $1,500 for a 27-inch.
Yeah, anything with an Apple on it is expensive.
So I'm looking for recommendations on a 27-inch monitor, a real good one.
Yeah, we like ViewSonic. We use ViewSonic in our business for our clients. They have a great line of monitors that have been extremely reliable for our clients, and they have good high quality. So it comes down to what your resolution is, really, and what your needs are. Are you going to be gaming with it? Are you going to be doing CAD design with it? Or are you just going to be doing email and internet?
I think all of the above.
You're doing CAD and gaming and all that?
Yes.
Okay. So what you want to do then is look for through the ViewSonic line. We'll put a link up to the ViewSonic line of monitors, and they do have CAD and gaming performance monitors that should not be in that range of $1,500. you should be able to find monitors that fit a budget that's more in line, because 27 is even not that big. You're not looking for a lot. So we'll put some links up there to their gaming and their CAD design monitors, because you have to start from that level to get what you want there to cover everything. Because you want that quick performance of a gaming monitor, and you want the high resolution of a CAD monitor so that you can do your CAD design work.
Yeah. It's that I was looking at a Dell.
Dell OEMs to all sorts of manufacturers. They're not doing it. They're basically buying it from other manufacturers like ViewSonic. I don't know if they are using ViewSonic or not, and slapping a Dell logo on it.
Gotcha.
So OEM does that all the time. Original equipment manufacturer. So I mean, Dell could have its own brand that they're making as well.
Okay.
But we'll put the ViewSonic up there. If you've got a Dell you like that meets your specifications, go ahead. If it fits your budget.
No, not at all. I was disappointed when they didn't release the 27-inch new iMac with the M1 chip.
Mm-hmm.
And the only way I can get it is going to the iMac Mini and then purchasing a separate monitor.
Yeah.
Even my iMac now, I thought I was possibly going to be able to use the screen on it with the iMac Mini, but it's because of the vintage. It won't allow me to do it.
It won't allow you to do it, huh?
No
connection, no adapter you can use?
No. It happens to be a year or make or model, 2009, something like that. The older 27 inches, you could do it, but not with the one I got.
That's amazing, because I can take almost any PC-based monitor and adapt it, and it'll work pretty much with any Windows computer. So, I mean, yep. I don't know what Apple's problem is.
It's the connectors.
Well, I know, but
with the connectors,
man,
you can get an adapter that will get to it.
Even on the old one, then?
Yeah.
So you think you could do it?
Well, I do know that the Mac Minis all have HDMI ports.
Mm-hmm.
So any HDMI monitor, there you go.
Right, but his old monitor can't be used on the new computer, because Apple says no for you.
My computer is about 7 years old, and I checked with Apple. Say, oh, I could use my monitor and just get the Mac Mini. They says, sorry, nope.
What a shame. That doesn't sound very environmentally friendly either.
I still think there might be some kind of an adapter you can get for that, maybe a Lightning to something else. And I might check monoprice.com for that. They have a lot of different kinds of video adapters.
Yeah. I don't know, maybe the working inside the monitor that won't allow me to.
Not likely.
They shouldn't, Bob. But yeah, good luck. We'll get the link up there for you on the ViewSonics, and we got to go. Okay, sir?
Thank you very much for your advice.
You're welcome. Our pleasure. All right, bye-bye. We'll be right back. We are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Dennis.
And this is our new bump music here that's open source licensed, so that Facebook doesn't block our broadcasts. That's what Zuckerberg was doing, was blocking our broadcast because we used normal radio bumps.
Really?
It's crazy. Crazy, crazy, crazy. But so we're back. We're here till 11 o'clock, and then Dr. Alessi will be in with Healthy Rounds. Everything we've talked about, everything, literally, has been posted over at ComputerTalkWithTab.com by Dennis here. And Mike G's been posting over on Twitter. Now the Twitter is less of a cesspool, running by Elon Musk. So you can go ahead and follow us at TabComputerSys. And literally, I'm back on Facebook, Twitter again, just to take a peek at it and see what's happening. It's really fun to watch everyone's head explode. And then, of course, we're over at Facebook, too, posting everything live over at Facebook. Mike G's posting that as well. And if Zuckerberg deems it worthy, and you're not in Australia, it will get into your news feed. So everything's there for you. And, of course, we are podcasted. So if for some reason you missed any part of the show, you can go to the Odyssey app, subscribe to Computer Talk with Tab, and you can listen to us anytime you want while you're doing your dump runs, while you're mowing the lawn, whatever it is. We'll be there for you in your noggin, talking to you forever. There's hundreds of episodes. You could literally listen to us nonstop for like a year, probably.
Oh, yeah.
and then you would ask yourself why. Let's go to Dorothy in Litchfield here. Dorothy, what's up?
Yes. Dorothy switched over to Joe.
All right, Joe. We'll take Joe, too.
Okay. Thank you. Sorry.
Yep.
Sorry about that.
No problem.
A couple of questions. That's potpourri of a couple of questions. best security for our phone. I've got Webroot on my computers.
Yep.
And they came back and said, well, you can put it on your phones now. I just did get new phones.
Okay. Cell phones. Is it an Android-based phone or an Apple-based phone?
Android.
Okay. So you could use Webroot. You already have an account. Go ahead and use it.
Yeah, it's good.
Yes, it's a good antivirus product. Yep, we still recommend it. Yep.
Okay, good. We'll go that way.
Yeah.
Secondly, I'm not on those phones. I tried to go into the voicemail and said I've never really used it yet. But when I went in, I couldn't access it because they asked for a password, and I didn't have one.
Mm-hmm.
And I tried to punch in a number that I usually use. Bad word to say. That's something you usually use, I know.
Yeah.
But to say like four numbers, and that wouldn't accept this. That's wrong. So I don't know how to access it now.
Well, you'll have to talk to your carrier. So whoever your cell carrier is, Verizon, AT&T.
Okay.
Is it the same number that you had?
It's a new one. It's a new carrier and a new phone.
Okay, so you need to set up your actual voicemail and something happened. Right. So you may want to go back to the store. Did you get out of the store, I assume?
Yep.
Yeah, and they might be able to help you set that account up for you.
Okay, again, another item, OpenDNS, which we thought we had on, but we don't really have it on.
Uh-huh.
We go to it, those numbers, we're confused as to the numbers to put in there now. It's like they're different places you can get OpenDNS, and we really want it on our router. But, it was not clear. We're afraid to go, and we're going to put the wrong numbers in there.
I understand. You need to configure your DHCP server in your router. I know that sounds like, oh my gosh, what the heck did he just say?
You just lost me.
No, I know. When you log into your router, all right, you're going to log in. Normally, you're going to go to on your network to 192.168.1.1, which is a typical gateway of most routers. It could be a 10 dot, but let's assume it's based on a 1.1 scheme. You log in with your admin user, and you've, of course, changed the password on your router to something other than the default, which some cases is blank. So you log in, then you should look for the – usually it's under networking. There should be a DHCP configuration.
You're going to put this on your site for us?
Well, this part of it I really can't because it's router specific. We'll put the information on OpenDNS on there.
They have a general guide to doing it, and it does have some links to example pages to show you for some models, but they can't do it for everything.
Right.
I see.
So you're looking for that DHCP server part of the router, and then you're going to set how many IP addresses you're going to hand out to your devices in your network. So these days, in the old days, I would have limited to about 25 or 30 devices. And in the old days, really was old days is 7 or 8 years ago. Now everybody's got a device on top of a device on top of a watch on top of a streaming service. So you need to have like 100 IP addresses these days in your home. And so give it enough range for a bunch of devices. And then you're going to put the OpenDNS IPs in there so that when your devices connect, they're going to get DNS based on those numbers that you're going to type into your DNS server there. So you have to follow the instructions. You have to take a little bit of time understanding it. You can also YouTube it too. I'm sure you can find some YouTube examples of how to set up your DHCP server. I don't have any specific ones for you, but there's probably tons of them out there. Read through it and watch it a few of it. And once you get in there, every device in your network that gets an internet IP from your router will be protected.
Okay. We'll pursue that one day when we got a little time to mess with that.
I understand. All right. Okay. All right, John.
One last item.
Yeah.
Our Roku, when we just cut the cord recently. Yeah,
congratulations.
You did all these good things.
Yeah.
Roku keeps shutting off on us. We're watching shows, and it shuts off. What is this? And then another time, we're right in the middle of nothing. It just, boom, it's off. And you hit the button, you know, put it back on again.
So wait a minute. So I've had this issue too, right? So for some reason, smart TVs hate having other devices connected to their HDMI. I've got a Sony that does this to me all the time. It doesn't detect that there's a thing connected to the HDMI port actually displaying. Even it should detect it, but it doesn't. So your TV says, I'm turning it off. Your Roku's still running. Your TV doesn't detect it. So one thing I haven't done either, I'm guilty of it. I just keep just cursing it and say, I turn it back on again. But you got to probably check a different interface in your TV that might be more persistent to detect the stream. I don't know if you have this problem too, Dennis. But
yeah, on one of my older televisions, I have to use a particular HDMI port with the Roku.
Because otherwise,
the other one doesn't work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's like it doesn't detect the device connected, even though you've told it, you've configured it, you told it there. It even says, hey, this is an NVIDIA Shield. I see it there. It doesn't detect it. So it really wants to fight and have its own built-in one. So you play with the TV itself and see what you have there for settings on the inputs.
Okay. Can you shut off the smart TV option?
Not generally. There's always going to be an underlying operating system these days with most of these TVs, because like we had a story that Dennis had a while back that said Vision was making, was it Vision or Vizio was making all their money on understanding what you were watching rather than the TV.
Right.
For a long time, we didn't have that option on, and we did when we went to this new streaming. So
yeah. Well, if you can turn off it, that'd be great. If you can turn your TV into a dumb TV by turning it off the operating system, that'd be great, because you're going to connect a Roku to make it smart again.
Oh, okay.
I'm guessing that your input is just not smart enough to see that it's a Roku connected, like my Sony is doing the exact same thing. It just drives me nuts.
Okay.
I'll figure it out now because of you, Joe, and I'll let you know what I do.
We'll just do that. We appreciate that.
Yeah. All right.
Okay, we appreciate all the help you give us.
All right, good luck, sir.
Take care.
Thank you for calling. You too. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right. We'll step out for a quick break. We got two more calls in here, but take a quick break. So get those breaks in and then get right back to you. We're going to get to Forrest and Gene. We'll be right back. And we are back. Let's get right to your calls. You're nice enough to join us on this Saturday morning. We're going to go to Forrest in Weetog next. What's going on, Forrest?
Hi, good morning, guys. Great
morning.
Show.
Thank you.
I had a question about internet-related privacy and security.
Yes, sir.
I don't think people really think too much about how much big tech is industrialized data collection, which is available for sale.
Yep.
Not just to governments, but to corporations and bad guys.
Mm-hmm.
I know that like on your phone, I mean, there's even there's like various apps, which record and report, your location data and other information.
You're right.
About you. I wanted to, I've been reading about how crazy extensive it is. I mean, this is a vast industry, and just like the FBI every year, performs over 3 million investigations into Americans,
mm-hmm.
Which is, that's like more than 1% of the population,
Yep.
So from what I've been reading, I'm interested in finding out how to make texts and emails, not just unreadable but unrecoverable.
Yeah.
And to stop all the various forms of location tracking. I know that, just turning off your phone or turning off, the location tracking switch on the phone doesn't seem to really do the job anymore.
Right.
Do you have anything?
Well, I can give you on the texting. There's apps out there like Signal, which gives you encrypted texting, so you could have communications without the carrier being involved. Proton is the email service that we'd recommend. It offers encrypted email. So there's your texting and email options. Now, everything has its limits, right? So, I'm going to say it's encrypted and secure, but who knows? Proton says you can't get any information from it, but there have been tons of folks that have still submitted requests to see who's using what, where, and why. Why are they signing up for a VPN? What are they doing with what was the organization? So, anything being perfectly secure is another thing. If you use my Android app is pretty good about asking me when an app is okay to report my location or what it's going to be doing. But to your point, there are still plenty of tracking that still exists with you, even if you turned it off. So you'd almost have to put it in some sort of Faraday cage or a box when you don't want to be quote unquote tracked. Then it's just going to start getting weird for you, though. But I'm sure there's going to be these types of bags and stuff are going to be sold so that people can start if they want to, literally put the, instead of having the tinfoil hat on our heads, we're going to wrap it around our phones. Whatever it might be, there will be technology out there to do that. But because of the world we live in, there's almost a video camera everywhere. So whether or not they track you on your phone, there's a camera that's got you with facial recognition probably anywhere you go. So now, what are you going to do? Sit in your home? I mean, this is the world we're living in. I don't know how much you're going to beat it versus joining it, but I don't disagree with your concern. But I just don't think, I mean, heck, you walk, you go by my house, I've got you on three cameras. Yeah. And they're high res. I know your license plate. So this is something all. And by the way, the Chinese probably know it too. you know, it's. I don't know. I agree with you on the insidiousness of all this data being taken and sold and what have you. But I don't think we're going to be able to beat it yet until there's some amount of requirement by our leaders or the federal government folks there who say this data has to be secured better. Or limited, like the GDR?
GDPR in the European Union.
Right. They have one of the stronger approaches to digital security.
If they could enact something like that here, I'd love it.
Yeah. But the Patriot Act changed all that here, too. I mean, we kind of gave up all of our freedoms with that.
Right.
So.
How about, like, in terms of, like, your online privacy, like DuckDuckGo or Start
yeah.
Page?
Yeah.
Start Page or
it's,
something like that?
It's helpful.
It's helpful to use that site to search.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing you might want to do is use what's the Brave web browser.
Yep.
Brave automatically disables a lot of ads and things like that that are trackers.
Mm-hmm.
And it does a pretty good job with that. It'll even report to you how much stuff it has prevented from being downloaded
yes.
on your system so that you know how much connectivity you're saving.
And OpenDNS is going to keep your cable provider, your broadband provider, from knowing where you're surfing or what have you. However, it doesn't stop Cisco.
Yeah.
I don't know why it's free if they're not using the information. I don't know. I have never read the EULA when I configure OpenDNS to know how much I'm giving up as far as my privacy or my firstborn. Who knows?
Right. Is there a CNET page or something that you recommend that they maybe discuss this stuff?
So I would frankly not go to American technology newspapers for this. I think they're all bought and paid for. We do link articles in these sites, but I would tell you to consider places like The Register. It's a UK British blog there that tends to be a little more honest. And they might have articles on security, but I wouldn't necessarily go to corporate sites like those that are just kind of paid to link the most secure such and such, you know. Everyone's getting paid to write the articles. They're not doing it out of the kindness of their heart.
Okay, UK Register, and that's is that like a website?
Yeah, it's, the Register yeah. UK. We'll put a link up there for you.
Yeah,
that's how I always think of it, is the Register UK. We'll put a link up to it. It's a site we refer to often, and it seems to be a lot more critical of American technology. Not that they're perfect either, but who is?
I got you. And last thing, is there a big difference, between your Apple devices and your Google devices? I know Google is just greedy for location data,
right?
For example, yeah.
Yeah, but however, Apple invented the AirTag, which is causing all sorts of location problems, right?
Right.
You know, that poor family in Disney was being tracked by an AirTag. So all of these companies are looking for your information.
One thing about Apple, though, if you might remember the investigation into the San Bernardino shooting.
Yeah.
The FBI wanted to get access to one of the shooter's iPhones.
Right.
Apple wouldn't do it, and they couldn't do it on their own.
Right.
But apparently they did hire somebody to crack that phone.
An Israeli
company. A third party.
Yeah.
It took a third party to do it. Apple did not cooperate with that.
Correct.
Right.
That was a long time ago, though. And
yeah,
those that may not be the same case these days. And of course, you can get the data right from your iTunes account if you hack that. Mm-hmm. Some of that data might be there, maybe not the location data. So, I don't think we've given you any real major answers, and probably given you more of concerns. But at least you have some options.
Gave him some tips.
Yeah. Again, we're not experts at it either, because we're victims as well. You know.
I think it's a matter of pick up a burner phone, you know, yeah, you know, just keep swapping them. Just use it for the prepaid period.
It all depends, Forrest, on what you're trying to keep private. You know, I don't know if it's just talking to your mom. I'm not sure I'd bother with a burner phone. But it's your call.
Right. Well. I mean, you know, because there's, you know, there's things that are innocent enough. You know, like you travel somewhere. You know.
Right.
You know, but something bad happens there.
Right.
Okay. Or there's something political.
Yep.
Happens there.
You're swept in.
You know, and then you know, and you're one of the 3 million people the FBI is on their tail because they, you know, they search for location data. Who's been here? Or who's been, you know.
Fair enough.
And, so there you go.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you very much for the word, guys. That was very helpful.
Thank you. All right. So hopefully Forrest didn't freak you out too much. Let's go on to your calls. We're going to go to, but he's right. I mean, privacy is a long gone thing. Let's go to Gene in Farmington. What's happening, Gene? Gene, you there? I can hear myself in her phone. Gene, you there? Gene. Hello, Gene. Come on, Jean. And she's going to hear her name right now. There she is.
Yes. I was told by a friend that I could put my internet on the TV screen. And the reason I'm asking about that is because I have low vision, a problem with my eyesight. And if there's anything else available on the market for a person with low vision, I'd like to know about it if you can help me.
When we get these questions, I always have a mental block as to that. There's an actual agency in Connecticut that can actually give you these specific things that can improve or help you with these things. And I'm going to hope Mike G is listening, which I know he is.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And in a moment, he'll put the agency information up because he's great about that stuff.
Okay. is there a, like, can cable or a computer person come in and set me up to put my computer on a TV screen?
So what you can do is you can have a wiring person run an HDMI cable from your computer to your TV screen's HDMI input. And then, yes, it now is your computer screen. That's in general an answer, yes. Okay. Go ahead.
Is that something that you do, or do I have to look in a phone book for a computer repair person? Or?
You'd want to find an IT-type company that does work with consumers. We're focused on business customers, so we don't have a consumer division. So you're in Farmington. I know Burns Computer in South Windsor is a company we recommend for just general home users. They might be willing to run an HDMI cable. But there's plenty of audio-visual companies out there like Bob Serio from Perfect Vision and Sound. We've recommended his company before. He'll run HDMI cables.
Slow down a little bit. What was Bob?
Bob Serio. It sounds like stereo, but Bob Serio, Perfect Vision and Sound. They run and mount TVs, and they're out in Avon.
And they're in Avon.
Yeah. So maybe they would give you a hand there, Gene, running that cable to your TV. And then we'll put the link of the agency that I'm thinking of, because I know Mike will think of it for me. And that agency is designed to help folks with vision issues and improve things for you.
Oh, okay. Very good.
All right, Gene. Good luck.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
I want to thank all you guys for joining us on this Saturday morning. I want to thank Carolyn for producing. I want to thank Mike G for posting everything over at Computer Talk with over at our Facebook page and over at our Twitter page. I want to thank Brett Ahrens for talking to us about why crypto probably isn't a good idea in your 401k. I want to thank Dennis Hallon for being here.
Well, thank you. And remember, we want you to be geeks too.
See you next Saturday.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 40% site-wide on brand new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees. Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale Last Chance right now and save up to 40% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 40% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing digital deals for members. Signature Farms chicken, split breasts, drumsticks, or thighs, buy one, get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. Or a wheat variety bread, 24-ounce selected varieties, buy one, get one for free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. And Progresso soup, 18 to 19-ounce selected varieties, buy two, get three free of equal or lesser value when you buy five. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.